today on It's Time.
7 days, anybody could have walked into the ark and got on the boat. Anybody. The door was wide open.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Genesis chapter 7. Genesis 7, as we go through the Bible looking at the great things that God does. You know, we've been looking at the story of Noah. And in Genesis 6:8, it says, "But Noah found grace in the sight of God." When the whole world had corrupted themselves, the Bible tells us there was one individual that hadn't, and God used him in a great way. Now, I want to share this with you because, again, I believe in this room today, we have a lot of Noahs, girl Noahs and boy Noahs. And here's why, because you may be the only person at your company that hasn't corrupted themselves. You may be the only person on your block that hasn't corrupted themselves. You may be the only person in your entire family that still has an inclination to serve God. And so what will God do with a person that is sold out to him? Well, that's what we find in the Bible and how great God is, just as we just sang. So let's pray. Father, as we go to your word now, we ask you that you would give us that wisdom that comes from you, and that your word would come alive, not just ink on paper, but God, that your Holy Spirit that breathed these words, God, that these things would come alive in our heart, and it would motivate us, God, to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So God spoke to Noah, told him to build a boat, told him to go for wood. I don't know what kind of gopher wood was, but he told him to go for wood, and he did, and he built an ark. Took him over 100 years to do it. And you know, you got this big boat there in this big, big plane. And then one day, all of a sudden, all these animals start showing up. Two by two, animals that you hadn't seen before. And what was weird is they were making a beeline for this big, giant boat. Now, again, the Bible tells us that Noah preached to his generation for 120 years. Now, what's amazing about that is how did he do that? Well, by the mere nature of building the boat, people, I'm sure he became the focus of ridicule, as I believe many of you are today for your statement of faith that you have in your home or at your job or wherever it might be. But the thing is, there was a standard there and this boat was being made. Now, here's the problem. All of a sudden, all these animals start showing up. And Noah told everybody that there was going to be something happening. And here's this big boat to prove it. But you know what I have found? People fail to interpret the data at hand. You see all these animals and you would think, you know, that's something I don't think you see every day. That's a weird looking critter. And there's another one walking right alongside of it. And they're getting into this big boat. Now, at this point, curiosity to me would cause a person to walk up and say, "Hey, what's going on here?" But they didn't. Now, I think, again, sin blinds people to the obvious. Sin blinds people to what's obvious. It's interesting. People get into lifestyles that are reckless, that are destructive. It is obvious that if you stay in that, it's going to hurt you. But because people are blind, they don't see, they don't interpret what they're looking at. This was the problem. All these animals start showing up. They all start getting in this big box that Noah built. And you would think that, again, the whole world would begin to say, "Hey, what's going on here?" But they didn't. And as we look at this here, In spite of all the things, all, I believe, the criticism that Noah went through, here you find in the very last verse of chapter 6, but Noah did according to all that God commanded him, and so he did. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And because we're faithful to God, there's an obedience that follows. In other words, I want to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because though I may not understand everything that God tells me, God wants me to do it. Well, notice verse 1 of chapter 7, some new ground. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Now, notice it says, don't go into the ark. He says, come into the ark. Always remember, God will never send you somewhere where he isn't already. I like that. In other words, God just doesn't say, well, go out there and figure it out. God says, come into the ark. I'm already here. Come on in. And you shall take with you seven of each, every clean animal, male and female, two of every animal that are unclean, male and his female. Also seven each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days, 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Here again we find, just as we found in verse 22 of the preceding chapter, now we find it again in verse 5, Noah did what God said to do. You're never going to lose doing what God tells you to do. And because God knows tomorrow better than you remember yesterday. So there's that faithfulness that God honors. Noah was 600 years old when the floods of the water came on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean birds, the birds of the air, the unclean, the birds, every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark, Noah, male and female, as God has commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days, the waters of the flood were on the earth. Now, this is weird again because you have all these animals getting on the ark. Now, you would think, again, people would say, that's really weird. I don't ever remember that happening before. This kooky dude has been building this boat for 100 years, and now all these animals are getting on this boat. Something is really weird. But, you know, again, the old saying goes, the only bad question is a question that's never asked. You know, I would be curious to see, why are these animals getting on the boat? And I believe today there's a lot of things like the animals getting on the boat that we as Christians are mindful of, but people of the world don't see it. Now we know, again, Jesus spoke of the days right before this that we're reading about. As in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is in Matthew 24, Luke 21. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, not a care in the world, and Noah entered the ark. And then the judgment of God came. Now again, God will only let this world get, friends, so wicked. I shared this before, but I don't know if you ever had the fortunate, or maybe I should say the unfortunate thing of rummaging through movies on these different movie channels and whatever. But the Bible says that violence was in the heart of man continually. And if you look at what motivates the Hollywood set, it's violence. They say a lot of kids today, and I'm speaking about those under 20 years old, have a very hard time watching the old 40s and 50 movies. I've shared this before, like It's a Wonderful Life or, Casablanca or something, because the storyline moves so slow. There's not a police car blowing up every 3 minutes. There isn't somebody mowing everybody down. There isn't a major event every few seconds. It cannot hold the attention span of the younger generation. Well, here's the problem. When people only feed on violence, and we know the computer was designed after our own mind and thought processes, garbage in, garbage out. Friends, if a society feeds on nothing but wickedness and violence and immorality, what's going to be the result of that? Monkey see, monkey do. Well, here's the problem. God judged societies and the world for that kind of behavior. As in the days of Noah were, Jesus said, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's what we're reading about here this morning. And the problem is that just as people in those days, in the days of Noah, couldn't really discern what they were in. They were seeing things, but they couldn't understand what it is. I believe it's the exact same thing right now. Well, when we realize how serious this kind of a problem is, when we realize that people are nonchalantly looking at evidence but can't interpret it, I wonder again how close we really are. This is why I tell everyone, work for the night is coming when no one can work. We need to be about our Father's business. Now, this flood, when we go back here, and it says in the 600th year, verse 11, of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, on the day the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. This was in 1656 on the Hebrew calendar. It's weird. It goes into this kind of identifier to let us know when this event happened. So from creation, 1656 years, man had so corrupted himself that God had to bring a judgment and basically start over. That's pretty crazy when you really think about it for a minute. And the Bible here says, the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And on the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of them entered the ark. Every beast after its kind, all cattle their kind, every creepy thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird of its kind, and every bird of its sort went into the ark to Noah, two by two, all flesh that has breath of life. And so they entered the ark, male and female, of the flesh which was God had made and commanded him, saying, and the Lord shut them in. Wow. Now it says that they had entered the ark 7 days before the flood came. So here's all these animals coming in, the door of the ark open, all these animals that people never seen before are getting on this boat. The door is open, 7 days, you know, Noah moves out of his house and they move into the ark and the door is open. People walking by go, that's weird, something you don't see every day. 7 days, anybody could have walked into the ark and got on the boat. Anybody. The door was wide open. And then notice it says here, the Lord shut him in. This word in the Hebrew means sealed in. God sealed the door shut. 7 days, and the period of grace was done. Wow. Have you ever thought about that for a minute, that one of these days, the Lord's going to take his church home and the age of grace is going to end. And then it's by death you're saved. The Bible tells us of the great martyrdom that transpires during the book of Revelation, starting in chapter 6 and subsequent chapters afterwards, about this great persecution that comes upon those that love God on this earth. Why? Because there's a rival religion. I don't know if it's maybe coupled with, global warming, with all the religions of the world homogenized together. But the Bible says there's going to be a world religion. And as John Lennon said, and the world will be as one. But the problem is, it's one, but it's not a good one. It's a bad one. The Bible tells us what this world is like. In fact, when you get to Revelation chapter 16, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. In other words, most likely the tribulation period would have went on much longer than 7 years, but because of God's grace, he cut it short. and moved it back to only 7 years. Why is that? Well, you have the Antichrist running wild, creating a world religion, homogenizes all the religions of the world, Chrislam, and you know, you have all the coexist, as you see the bumper stickers sometimes. And you have all these religions working together. But then the Antichrist does something really unusual. 3.5 years into his homogenizing the world will be his one. He goes into the temple in Jerusalem, Israel, that's not built yet, but Revelation chapter 11 clearly says there's going to be a third temple for the Jewish people built. And he goes into the temple 3.5 years into the tribulation, and he declares to the world that he's God. The very Chrislam religious system, homogenizing all the religions of the world together. He then scraps and he says, no, no more. You now worship me, the Antichrist says. Wow. The Jewish eyes are open. They go, we've been duped. We thought he was our friend. For 3.5 years, the people of Israel thought the Antichrist was their Messiah. Their eyes are open. They go, this guy's a fake, man. We've been fooled. Jesus said, run for the hills, because he said the wrath of the Antichrist is going to come on the earth and come on the Jewish people in a very pointed way. He said, don't even go back in, Jesus said in Matthew 24, to get your coat. Just run for the hills. The Antichrist's retribution to the Jews rejecting him is so severe, so pointed, that he focuses all of his wrath on them. The Bible says that God supernaturally intervenes for the people of Israel running from the Antichrist. But nevertheless, you have this battle going on. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I believe that we're there right now. I believe the next great event on God's calendar is one of two things. I believe we might be here to see the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39, where Russia, coupled with the Arab neighbors, comes against Israel. The Bible says it'll be in the last days. God fights for Israel. 5/6 of this invading army is wiped out. It takes them 7 months to bury the dead. That's how big the devastation is. The Bible tells us that they're going to be burning the weapons for 7 years. The cachet is so big of what they get. And then the Bible tells us that there's going to be a caught up. And this is what I believe all of us as Christians should be looking for. You know, people say, well, who's the Antichrist? Who's the Antichrist? I'm not looking for the Antichrist, friends. I'm looking for Jesus. I believe he's going to come, split the clouds, and we're out of here. That's some good news. Then once the church is gone, the identifier, you that are filled with God's wisdom, some guy shows up on the world scene and he's starting to have all the answers for all the problems, the ecological problems, the food problems, whatever. And the world says, this is our Messiah. The Jewish nation says, initially, this is our Messiah. And the world goes after this guy, and they follow after him. And they say, who is able to make war with him? He's perfect, finally. A politician that makes sense. That'd be a novel concept, wouldn't it? Anyway, I don't think the Antichrist is going to come on the world scene as some wild-eyed demoniac, even though he's possessed. I believe he's going to come on the world scene as a very, very level-headed, charming individual that woos the heart of the world. And the Bible tells us that before he comes on the world scene, God takes his church out of here. Why is that? Because he'd never be able to come on the world scene with you here. You have some guy that comes on with sparkly white teeth, looks just like what you always think the Messiah would look like, and he's doing all these things. You wouldn't say, oh, there's the Christ. The church is going to say, there's the Antichrist. There's too many Christians that will identify the Antichrist for who he is. But once the church is gone, the Bible says that which was restrains, which I believe is the church and the Holy Spirit in you, when it's taken out, the Antichrist can come to power rapidly and do what he's going to do to this world. Finally, the world's going to get what they wanted, a world without God. And the Bible said it's not a fit place to live. You see, this is what happened. When you take God out of this world, you have chaos. This is what the generation of Noah was like. They had taken God out of their whole consciousness and everything. God shut the door. The door is open right now. Whosoever will may come. But I believe that door, just as it was there with Noah, is getting ready to close. And when it closes, then the Bible says the tribulation will begin and there'll be a judgment again on this earth. Now, verse 17 says, the flood was on the earth for 40 days. Waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. And the waters prevailed greatly, increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth until literally, and all the high hills under the whole heavens were covered, and the water prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. So in other words, the water covered the entire earth above the highest mountain, 22 and a half feet. Pretty exact numbers here, actually. Now, you know what's weird about this? Of 200 cultures in the world, from the Hawaiian Islands to the Druids to wherever, all speak of a universal global flood. 200 cultures speak of this in their history. All of them, they speak of this. And most of them, over 50%, attribute it to wickedness on the earth. They attribute it to one family being one that survived. They speak of a boat that carried the people. So this is not some obscure, unknown thing. Now, what does the geological records show? It shows that on some of the highest mountains that they have examined, they find shell life up there. Why? How did it get up there? Well, the Bible here tells us the world was covered by a universal flood. Now, it wasn't just the rain, as we talked about before last week. But it was, the Bible says, the wells of the deep broke open. We talked about this new water that's on the earth every year. Every year, there's one more cubic mile of water that's on earth than there was the year before. It just seeps out of the ground. But the wells of the deep, God, when he created the earth, no doubt created it with that capability of doing those things. And so when the rains came and the wells broke open, the water flooded the earth and went up above 22 and a half feet above the highest mountain. This is why we can reject the idea of it being a local flood. Well, it was just in the Mesopotamian area. Well, water seeking its own level, and as we'll read on here, this flood lasted for 5 months. It rained and the wells broke open for 40 days and 40 nights, but that was enough water to fill the earth. And it took, in fact, they were 5 months floating and 7 months on top of the mountain, waiting for it to subside where they could get out. So it says, the waters prevailed, and it says, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, beasts, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, every man. And all those who in nostrils had the breath of the spirit of life, all that was in the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, birds of the air. And they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Now, again, this is a spiritual blueprint, the way it works with God. Only those with God remain alive. Always remember, if you want to know where to go, always go to God. He's got the answers for what you need.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time. as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.